на основном.
Andrew, here we have the most important case brought in the history of the state of Georgia. I would guess probably maybe since after the Civil War, but no, probably even let's just say the most important case in Georgia history. I think that's pretty safe to say. And yet the lack of judgment shown here, just absolutely stunning. And I'm curious what your thought is. The odor of mendacity remains. I'm curious, do you agree with that, one? And two, if that is the case, how does she move forward effectively as the prosecutor of this case?
So I think the last question is the key, what to do now. I think that there's no question that there's no prejudice to the defendants. The judge goes out of his way to say this has nothing to do. And that's your point, Joe, which is this has nothing to do with it. And that's what makes this so absolutely infuriating, because the judge, I think, is clearly saying, I'm not buying for 1 minute, or as I would say, 1 New York minute, the testimony that was given.
So, Andrew, is saying, could I ask you to clarify for anybody that's watching this? Could you, so we're saying, I think correctly, that this lack of judgment, these terrible mistakes made by the DA, does not impact defendants. Give some examples of what are some of the things that would have required her disqualification? Hmm.
Sure. For instance, if she were having a relationship with a witness in the case, if she were having a relationship with the defense counsel on a case, those are things that would actually deal with the evidence. And the judge goes out of his way to say there's nothing about it, even if there were some financial gain to her. The idea that she's prolonging this case, and the judge goes out of his way to say prolonging, the state has been trying to get to trial. So he goes out of his way to say the defendants are not prejudiced in just one iota about this. But I think the key here is how to go forward, because clearly Wade is off. But I think that this is such a huge body blow, almost a fatal blow to Fannie Willis. I think the way forward is she has to voluntarily recuse herself. I don't know that she has it in her, but I think she has to say, I'm going to appoint a chief assistant who's going to oversee this case. She clearly has no credibility with this judge. And these issues are going to be taken up. The judge invites these issues to be taken up by all sorts of other Georgia regulators, including the Georgia Assembly, the Fulton County Board of Commissioners, the State Ethics Commission. I mean, he lists that. So I think the best thing, if your first interest is the sanctity of this case, which I agree with you, Joy, this is the most important case in Georgia. And of the four Trump cases, this may be the most important because it's one that will last regardless of whether Donald Trump wins the presidency or not. If your first interest is this case, I think she needs to remove herself voluntarily and just say someone else is going to oversee this case in Georgia so that whatever happens to her in terms of ethics, it doesn't taint this case.
From all over the world, they came.
From China.
Angola. Millions of illegal border crossers have entered the country unlawfully.
Egypt.
Cameroon.
Colombia.
They're coming by the thousands. Nobody could afford this, and even morally, it's so wrong.
Venezuela.
Enough to know who I am, but soon you're gonna know who I am.
We will secure our borders and we will restore our sovereignty.
They recognize the fact that Joe Biden is more favorable president for immigrants.
Biden! Biden!
Proper Biden.
Biden, of course.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies. Because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Friday, 15 March, year of our Lord, 2024. It is the Ides of March. Normally, we have a very traditional opening about this. We're going to do that at 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to do the Ides of March, our classic official open, and I'm going to tie it to current politics, particularly Robert Kagan and this move of these intellectuals to lay the groundwork for the assassination of President Trump. All of that at 6. This morning, a bombshell. And it didn't seem maybe at first how big it was, but you just saw Weissman right there, the head of all the Trump haters in the legal profession, basically surrendering in Georgia. Boris Epstein is going to join us in the B block as he frees himself up to, from the analysis. They're working internally to really break this down. Boris is going to join us at 10:15, next segment. I want to start with Todd Bensman. Todd, and I want to thank the team for that magnificent open. Right there, we started with the shooting yesterday in the New York City subway. But you get to see what the underclass and working class, the working poor in our country have to deal with every day, not just terrible low wages because of the 10 to 12 million illegal aliens they brought in on Biden's watch, but also just the out-of-control crime, what happens every day. They can't even get back and forth from work without the worrying about their life. You've done more than anybody to document this, Todd. We're going to get into Haiti in a minute, but I got to go with your tweet from this morning. Explain this story of a young girl got raped on, am I correct, in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which we just sent you up for that blockbuster presentation in West Roxbury. In the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, was a young girl raped by one of these Haitians, brought in by the exact program that Todd Bensman unearthed and warned the country about, that Biden and Mayorkas and these people have been lying to the country. Todd, you broke the story. Was there one of the people on those flights raped a young American girl on Wednesday in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, sir?
Yes. According to Fox News, the Rockland, Massachusetts Haitian who, Massachusetts filled with hundreds of thousands of immigrants that are coming over the border, but also apparently is a location for the flights that I've been writing about from foreign airports to U.S. airports that the Biden administration is completely sandbagging the names of. We don't have the locations, but Fox News is out today with a report that Corey Alvarez, a Haitian who was flown in directly from Haiti to JFK. So now we know JFK is one of the airports, and they're flying Haitians directly to. Corey Alvarez has pled not guilty to a charge of aggravated assault in Rockland, Massachusetts. It's the Plymouth County DA. Fox News is citing multiple sources that he was on one of those flights. The story is out today on Fox News. It's a very important story because what I've been saying all along about these extra legal parole programs where they're just flying people in sight unseen or bringing them in over the land bridges sight unseen. You can't tell what they are or who they are or anything, is that they've gone through excellent security vetting. That the White House just came out three or four days ago with a statement saying, don't worry about this flights program because we have great vetting. Everybody has been fully vetted for criminal history. The problem with that is Haiti doesn't exactly have a criminal history database that we can check. And the Haitians, at least 138,000 of them have been flown in on this program. We have absolutely no clue what they did or didn't do. We know that rapists typically didn't commit their very first rape when they got caught. They are usually, it's something hardwired inside them. So if he is guilty of this, everybody's innocent until proven otherwise, then, what kind of a security check did they catch him on over in Port-au-Prince? They put in a database search over there? Of course not. It's a pre-modern failed state. This flights program, and by the way, it's great to know that JFK is one of the receiving airports because that mayor up there, Adams, has been accusing Greg Abbott of Texas of being the primary culprit, sending busloads of immigrants, and that's where all their problems stem from up there, having hundreds of thousands of immigrants. Greg Abbott did it. No, Joe Biden did it. Sent these immigrants in from Haiti. Absolutely, JFK is one of those places, and probably Boston is too, Chicago, and all the places that are complaining the loudest. We are pursuing at the Center for Immigration Studies our FOIA lawsuit on this to get the departure airports. That's news. They are flying them directly, according to Fox News, directly from Haiti. I would never have guessed. I would have figured that they were in Mexico or Latin America or something. Where else are they flying them in from? In parts unknown, as Trump said.
Todd, hang on for 1 second. By the way, that ad was made by by Laura Loomer. It's an incredibly powerful ad taken from her new documentary, The Great Replacement, that she's coming out with. Before we go to break, real quickly, you mentioned the number 138,000 Haitians have been flown in. Where did you get that number? Where's my receipt on that?
Yeah, that number is cited in the Fox News report. It comes from government sources. They do give numbers in a public way, but they don't tell you that these are flights, that this is the flights program. They just call it the CHNV program. We have the data, monthly breakdowns at Center for Immigration Studies. We don't know where they're going or where they're coming from.
Just hang on 1 second. I'm going to come back. We've got more to talk about Haiti. Because the flotillas are coming in, you're going to have a mass migration by sea, just like what's happening in Europe from North Africa, what's happening in England from Calais, France. Okay, short break. Boris Epstein on the other side.
As we head toward a presidential election in November, one thing you can be sure of, 2024 will be a tumultuous year like no other. How will your hard-earned savings fare during this year? You're already seeing the impacts of inflation at the pump, the grocery store, The dollar continues to lose buying power quicker than your wages can increase. How are you protecting your savings? Consider diversifying with gold from Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks to hedge against inflation. Now you can own it in a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. Just text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898, and Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898 to claim your free info kit. That's Bannon to 989898. And secure your savings now. Take action. Text Bannon at 989898. Action, action, action.
Here we have the most important case brought in the history of the state of Georgia. I would guess probably maybe since after the Civil War, but no, probably even let's just say the most important case in Georgia history. I think that's pretty safe to say. And yet the lack of judgment shown here, just absolutely stunning. And I'm curious what your thought is. The odor of mendacity remains. I'm curious, do you agree with that, one? And two, if that is the case, how does she move forward effectively as the prosecutor of this case?
So I think the last question is the key, what to do now. I think that there's no question that there's no prejudice to the defendants. The judge goes out of his way to say this has nothing to do. And that's your point, Joe, which is this has nothing to do with it. And that's what makes this so absolutely infuriating, because the judge, I think, is clearly saying, I'm not buying for 1 minute, or as I would say, 1 New York minute, the testimony that was given.
So, is saying, could I ask you to clarify for anybody that's watching this? Could you, so we're saying, I think correctly, that this lack of judgment, these terrible mistakes made by the DA, does not impact defendants. Give some examples of what are some of the things that would have required her disqualification? Hmm.
Sure. For instance, if she were having a relationship with a witness in the case, if she were having a relationship with the defense counsel on a case, those are things that would actually deal with the evidence. And the judge goes out of his way to say there's nothing about it, even if there were some financial gain to her. The idea that she's prolonging this case, and the judge goes out of his way to say prolonging, the state has been trying to get to trial. So he goes out of his way to say the defendants are not prejudiced in just one iota about this. But I think the key here is how to go forward, because clearly Wade is off. But I think that this is such a huge body blow, almost a fatal blow to Fani Willis. I think the way forward is she has to voluntarily recuse herself. I don't know that she has it in her, but I think she has to say, I'm going to appoint like a chief assistant who's going to oversee this case. She clearly has no credibility with this judge. And these issues are going to be taken up. The judge invites these issues to be taken up by all sorts of other Georgia regulators, including the Georgia Assembly, the Fulton County Board of Commissioners, the State Ethics Commission. I mean, he lists that. So I think the best thing, if your first interest is the sanctity of this case, which I agree with you, Joe, this is the most important case in Georgia. And of the four Trump cases, this may be the most important because it's one that will last regardless of whether Donald Trump wins the presidency or not. If your first interest is this case, I think she needs to remove herself voluntarily and just say someone else is going to oversee this case in Georgia so that whatever happens to her in terms of ethics, it doesn't taint this case.
Okay, Boris Epstein joins us. So, Boris, I'm not a lawyer. When I first saw this morning, I didn't think it was as harsh as it had to be, but Andrew Weissman disagrees with me. He thinks this is a killer. Your assessment, sir?
Steve, honor be with you, honor be with the posse. Steve Sadow put out a statement on this. Obviously, there was a view that this judge did not afford appropriate significance to the prosecutorial misconduct from Steve Stadow. He said, while respecting the court's decision, that's the lead lawyer for the president in Georgia, while respecting the court's decision, we believe that the court did not afford appropriate significance to the prosecutorial misconduct of Willis and Wade, including the financial benefits, testifying untruthfully about when their personal relationship began, as well as Willis's extrajudicial MLK church speech, where she played the race card and falsely accused the defendants and their counsel of racism. Vital. We will use all legal options available as we continue to fight to end this case, which should never have been brought in the first place. Here's the key. As you look right now, the situation for Fannie Willis is either she resigns or her special prosecutor and lover, Nathan Wade, has to step down. To be clear, Nathan Wade is not a line prosecutor there. He's their version of deranged Jack Smith. Right? In Georgia, if she's the mayor in Fulton County, if she's the mayor of Garland, he's Jack Smith. So right now, either the special prosecutor on the case is gone, and he's been the one that's leading the case, dealing with the witnesses, dealing with all the charges, or she's gone. And keep in mind, there's obviously potential for appeal here from both sides. Lots still to be played out, but the bottom line is this judge clearly found, Judge McAfee clearly found, that there was an appearance of impropriety that meets the standard, and now it's the DA has to take a very, very difficult step, either on herself or on someone she's admittedly very, very personally close with. And to go big picture, this is just another one of these witch hunts and hoaxes that is being destroyed under pressure from President Trump, the MAGA posse, the MAGA movement, and the American Constitution. That's what it's all about. We could talk about the specifics of this case, the DA case, where Bragg is now himself, the Manhattan DA, Quebec, said, please, 30 days adjournment, sure, and we're continuing to fight on that front. The case in D.C., which is now in front of the Supreme Court on immunity. The case in Florida, where President Trump was yesterday in a hearing where there are robust motions on Presidential Records Act, on selective prosecution, and even on vagueness, where the judge said that it's only dismissed, but without prejudice. So please bring it. Let's bring it back up. Let's continue discussing it. All of these witch hunts and hoaxes are being destroyed. They're being destroyed because they are empty. They're a nasty, disgusting, tepid, awful, corrosive house of cards, and they're falling apart. That's what they are. They are a rotten house of cards, and they're falling apart. And President Trump, having now annihilated the competition in the primary, is going to do the same thing in the general, and will walk back into the Oval Office January 20, 2025, and will make America great again.
Last thing, Boris, is Weissman talks about that the judge in his ruling opened up Fannie Willis for appropriate review by the Georgia Assembly and by Georgia legal authorities, i.e. the Attorney General, for gross misconduct. Do if Andrew Weissman's saying that, who's the biggest never Trump hater of all the judiciary? He's hunted President Trump for years and years and years, one of the key guys in back of the Russia hoax. What does that tell us? What does that tell us? What does it tell us about Kemp and Carr in the Georgia the Republican establishment in Georgia, what their responsibilities and obligations are now for the rule of law?
Well, see, here's what I'll say. Weissman obviously is as deluded as it gets. Got crushed by the Supreme Court and Arthur Anderson, has been completely outside the bounds of American law. Thinks America is the either Soviet Union as in the 1930s or Venezuela. But for him to say that, I think what's clear is that Fannie Willis has just embarrassed herself so much that now even the Democrats are crying uncle and saying, hey, we can't take it anymore. And now they're talking about, you know, the Democrats, again, are talking about ethics charges against her, an investigation into her. And Governor Kemp, Brian Kemp, just in the last couple of days signed that bill in Georgia, again, establishing their commission and the ability to bring rogue prosecutors to justice, and doesn't get much more rogue than what Fannie Willis has done. Let's not forget, her misconduct with her lover, Nathan Wade, was awful. It was wrongful. It was a conflict of interest, we believe, and the strong appearance of impropriety, along with her misconduct in that church speech where she wrongfully and deeply, unethically, and inappropriately accused the defendants, including President Trump and their counsel, of being racist, which is farthest thing from the truth. These are all horrible infractions by her, terrible infractions. We go back out another 10,000 feet. The whole sham is an infraction. These charges should have never been brought. They're nothing but a witch hunt, and that's why they're all falling apart.
Boris, last thing, some geopolitical observations. Chuck Schumer, a shocking speech where he threw the Israeli government, a sitting democratically elected Israeli government. I know it may not be his cup of tea, but he threw him under the bus. Then Bibi Netanyahu just announced a few minutes ago that if the going into Rafah is a red line for the Biden regime, that's a tough break because they're going into Rafah. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are that crooked Joe Biden, crying Chuck Schumer, and the Democrats have turned their back on the state of Israel and the Jewish people for decades. Let's not forget, Chuck Schumer was a fan of the Iran nuclear deal, that President Trump put to an end, that President Trump put out of its misery. Chuck Schumer was for that horrible deal, the JCPOA. It was an absolute embarrassment and an existential threat to Israel and the Jewish people. After October 7th, they gave a couple of days of lip service to the thousands of Jews murdered in cold blood. But now what are they doing? They're now going and supporting the Palestinians. They're supporting whoever it is that's against the Jewish people, and they've done nothing to combat anti-Semitism. President Trump was the best president for the Jewish people in the state of Israel in American history, the best president in fighting terror all over the world, killing Qasem Soleimani, taking out ISIS, destroying ISIS. And what has crooked Joe Biden and his comrade like Chuck Schumer done? They brought it all back. They hate America. They've done everything to hurt America and its greatest allies like the state of Israel. And you can understand why Bibi Netanyahu is not going to be taking any nonsense from these weak, illegitimate leaders in the U.S.
Boris, what's your social media? How do people follow you?
Steve, honored to be with you. My website is hot, BorisCP.com, hot on BorisCP.com, hot on Getter at BorisCP, Twitter at BorisCP, hot on Truth Social at Boris. And, of course, the hottest on the gram, Boris_Epstein. Stay strong. God bless all offense. And Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you very much, Boris. Appreciate it. Great analysis. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Todd Benson's going to join us. He got more details about the rape of the young American girl up in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts by a Haitian migrant flown in by the Biden regime deep into America, into Massachusetts. He has other analysis and updates on this Haitian situation, particularly the flotillas. We'll get to all that. Also, Charlie Spearing. Charlie is the White House correspondent for the Daily Mail. He's out with a new book about Kamala Harris. We'll break all of that down. Birch Gold, you don't think this is turbulence? Buckle up, because it's going to get a lot more turbulent. Birch Gold. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Get the end of the dollar empire. It's free. 4 installments. All free. But also talk to Philip Patrick and the team about gold as a hedge against times of turbulence. Back. 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, standing behind their service and their values as a company. They are an example of putting the cause ahead of profits, and it's why I am proud and the War Room Posse is proud to partner with them. For Black Friday, Patriot Mobile wants to give you a brand new smartphone when you make the switch today. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And we repeat that, without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and much more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number. And for a limited time, get a smartphone for free. Go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code FRIDAY76. That's FRIDAY76. Go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code FRIDAY76. Again, we're talking about a free smartphone. Offer is eligible only with the Black Friday promo code FRIDAY76. This is a limited time offer. Join me. Make that switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. Promo code FRIDAY76.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
I want to give a shout out to the Real America Voice team that always go the extra 9 yards for us here in the war room. Really appreciate the entire apparatus of Parker and Rob Sig are always out there working to help assist the War Room on location and make the show better, put together all the clips our team organized. It's just fantastic. Trey, Will, Mark, Matt, and Kyle, part of the core team, actually have spent, I think it's two nights, maybe one night, in actually at headquarters because of this massive snowstorm in Denver. Wanting to make sure that War Room is ready to go, they stayed two nights at the Central Command in outside of Denver, Colorado. Want to thank the team for doing that, spending two nights at the studio to make sure we get War Room on every morning and afternoon. Really appreciate it, guys. Trey, Will, Mark, Matt, and Kyle. Thank you guys so much. Want to go back to Todd Bensman. Todd, it turns out she's not actually a U.S. citizen. She's staying at a migrant hotel. But I want you to explain to people what that means. Also, is she underage? Is he alleged to have raped an underage girl?
This is a 15-year-old child, a fellow migrant in the NGO-provided, paid-for hotel in Rockland, Massachusetts, where they were staying. The hotel, by the way, is, you know, one of many, many across the country that are being paid for. I think a lot of that is coming from ultimately from government funds through these NGOs. They're kind of staying there indefinitely. And this alleged aggravated sexual assault of this child, a fellow Haitian, apparently. Now, he is pleaded not guilty. But to me, that is very significant, because the White House just told us about this secretive flight program, that the vetting's great. What are you worried about? And tens of thousands of Haitians are part of it. They're being authorized to fly in to U.S. airports. They won't tell us which airports. But because of this case and the Fox News report, we now know that some of the flights are coming right out of Haiti, which is a surprise to me. I would never have guessed that they were flying them directly from Haiti and into JFK in New York. So it's not just Greg Abbott busing people to New York to cause problems there, or Boston, or anywhere else. I suspect that the Biden administration is authorizing huge, huge numbers. We know 320,000 plus, it's probably more like 340,000 now, have been authorized to fly in under this program. And one last thing I want to say about it, which really kind of sparked off the attention to my reporting, is that the government is telling CIS, Center for Immigration Studies, they won't give us the names of these airports because they've flown so many in that it has stretched airport security and made those airports vulnerable to what they call bad actors, which is, to me, even a bigger story than the fact that this thing exists at all. I don't hear congressmen writing letters or see congressmen writing letters or in the Senate either demanding answers about, what do you mean this thing has compromised U.S. airport security? What are you talking about? I want more information.
When you say they've told us, the only reason there's any response at all is because of you. I mean, you reported this, I think, here a year ago on CIS, but it was your FOIA request that has forced the administration, has forced the Biden regime to actually answer any questions at all, and even those in a hesitant way and with as much of trying to cover it up as much as possible. They're not forthcoming with what the program is, where they're flying in from, where they're going to, what happens after they get there. There's no explanation, no in-depth briefing or explanation of this plan at all, is there?
That's right. And, one of our requests, we're suing for the information under FOIA, but, we're asking for the departure airports because, and they won't give us those either, because if we knew where these departure airports were, we could actually go to them and interview the people who are taking part in the program and find out all kinds of things, like, what is your situation that qualified you for this? Are you actually going to reunite with family over there? How is it? Who's paying your airfare? Lots of transparency could be acquired if we knew where the departure airports are. And they don't want to tell us that because they don't want us asking those questions, and they certainly don't want anybody in the U.S. media to be asking questions. These flights are not visible to they're not readily visible to the American people. You have no idea when somebody is coming out of JFK where they just flew in from and under what circumstance. So it's secretive. It's the ultimate kind of hidden program, and hundreds of thousands of people are coming through this way,
including 138,000 Haitians. Let's talk about Haiti, because Mayorkas, I think, attempted by the Biden regime to say, oh, they're not going to have a parole program. This is overreaction by War Room and Bensman and the typical, anti-immigrant crowd, that's not going to happen at all. But what we're hearing, what you've told us, and also we've done our own checking, is that the Coast Guard is going to act as an escort for the flotillas, and whatever's not being flown in by air is going to be brought by sea to Florida. Is there any change? And talk to us about Mayorkas, because I know you kind of deconstruct this and say, hey, he's really not saying that. He's actually saying that they are going to be allowed in. Your thoughts?
Sure. I just want to clarify that there are Haitian boats, sailboats, that are on the way. They're being interdicted increasingly in the Bahamas. The Coast Guard is out there in the Bahamas, and they're interdicting them out there, but others are coming. And the issue here, DeSantis has deployed 250 officers and soldiers and more than a dozen aircraft and patrol boats onto the Florida Keys, patrolling. And the Border Patrol stations out there are, increasing their personnel. And so, the governments are nervous about an influx of Haitian boat people reaching the Florida Keys. So I just want to get that out of the way. That is what's going on. The question now is whether the Biden administration is going to repatriate them back to Haiti, which is a terrible place right now, or somewhere else, or let them land in the Keys. That's the big question. We're all kind of waiting. Now, yesterday, Mayorkas came out with a statement and said, don't worry, we are going to repatriate. The way he put it is interesting, is that every boat full of Haitians faces repatriation back to, or would be subject to repatriation. Well, we hear those kind of subject to and facing terminology from him about our southern border. 100% of everybody who crosses that southern border is subject to deportation, is facing harsh penalties, is subject to prosecution. The problem is when you use escape hatch terms like that, we've seen that none of those things happen. Yeah, they're subject to it, but they don't actually get deported. They don't actually get prosecuted in any significant numbers. So when I hear that they're subject to, the Haitians are going to be subject to repatriation, I kind of, my eyebrow will go up.
Yeah.
I just want to point out.
Hang on. I know you write now for the Daily Mail also, but the Daily Mail, I think, has got a story that they're actually planning on getting them to Gitmo, to Guantanamo Bay first, process them into the country, to the United States from there, to keep it out of view of folks in Florida and in the Keys, and for the terrible optics that would show against this regime. Is the reporting of the Daily Mail, you think, accurate in that there is a program to look at to put them into Gitmo, to process them, parole them there?
Yes, there's a better piece in the Stars and Stripes, which has access to U.S. Southcom's commanding general, who has come out and said, we are prepping Guantanamo Bay. I said this on your show yesterday, that I think that is the solution for this. That's a great plan. That is what needs to happen. And I don't think we should undersell the fact that it is a terrible circumstance for Haitians to be there. They've got a bloodthirsty, cannibalistic.
Hold it! Whoa! What do you mean? What do you mean a great plan? You don't mean to take them to Gitmo and process them into the country. That's why should they be processed into the country at all?
No, they wouldn't be processed into the United States. There, they would just cool their heels in Guantanamo so that they don't have to suffer the depredations of the gang crime bosses that are running Haiti right now. But they could chill out there. That doesn't mean they're going to get U.S. asylum. George H. Bush did this in 91.
It means 99% chance they're going to get asylum. If they get to Guantanamo Bay and get processed in Guantanamo Bay, you who have covered this your entire adult life, what's the probability they're not going to eventually get paroled into the continental United States? Because they're on U.S. territory, Guantanamo, correct?
I'm not saying that I'm wrong, but that I'm always right. But my belief is that if you're on that military base, you are not on U.S. soil proper, and you cannot claim asylum. It's a place where they can just be held in safety until things calm down in Haiti. If we were to bring them to the Florida Keys and they touch sand, they all just say, oh, I'd claim asylum, and you know, then we would.
Okay, hang on. I want to make sure Todd Benson is not going soft on me. You just reported they've flown 138,000 unvetted Haitians into the United States, of which there's alleged a rape of a 15-year-old girl in a motel in Commonwealth of Massachusetts paid for by the NGOs. If they get to actually Guantanamo, if the status of Guantanamo is not considered the United States, you believe that they're just going to sit there and they're going to send them back to Haiti? Eventually, they're not going to work some program to either fly them into the United States or somehow get them over to Florida, sir?
Well, I'll put it this way. They certainly could be repatriated later back to Haiti. I wouldn't put anything past the Biden administration to come up with some new thing to slowly bring all of them into the United States. But I don't believe they have to once they're on that island. So I'll research that better, but I'm pretty sure that they can't claim asylum and then be processed. Okay. Now, they could do some extra legal thing. They're doing paroles and, some other kind of thing. But I think that
you're saying technically when they get to Gitmo, when they get to Guantanamo Bay, that technically is not considered U.S. soil. I actually thought it was, but you're saying it's not technically considered U.S. soil. So they would have to have some sort of other program, of which the Biden regime in Mayorkas comes up with them all the time. Todd, where do people go? You've got stories up all over the place today. Where do people go to get everything?
Just real quickly, the airport is closed. Yep. The airport is closed there. So are the seaports. So, there's a repatriation problem there. But anyway, you can find me at Benzman Todd X. And I'm also on Getter and Truth Social. And then, of course, my book is Overrun. It's the only book about this mass migration crisis and how we got here and how to get out of it.
Todd Benzman's been with us for what, 3-4 years now? You've called the shot every step of the way, every lie they've told, all the misdirection plays, everything. The flying into the country is amazing. You called this over a year ago and actually walked through exactly what was going to happen. Todd Benzman, you're a patriot and a hero, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on. Okay, we're going to take a short break. Enough turbulence yet? It's only going to get worse. We're going to talk this afternoon and tomorrow. Scott Bessent's going to join us, talk about the budget fiasco, what we're facing as far as the increased debt. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go check it out right now. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Charlie Spearing, Daily Mail, White House.
The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here, and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Bannon.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, senior political reporter for the Daily Mail, Charlie Spearing, joins us now. Charlie was, when I ran Breitbart, was my White House correspondent, one of the best reporters out there. And I now have proof of that, besides all the great stories. Charlie, your book on Kamala Harris, Amateur Hour, is deeply reported. And that's why so many bombshells have come out. Let me ask you, you're a guy that's always had a great nose for news and what's important. You're a guy that's signal, not noise. Why did you decide to spend as much time as you did researching Kamala Harris and writing the book?
Yeah, Steve, that's a great question, because you don't write a book about every vice president. We didn't write a book about Al Gore and how he presented a great, difference into what we're looking for as a possible future president when he was vice president for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was doing just fine. So at this point, you're looking at President Joe Biden, noting that the Democrats are just trying to push him past the finish line. And there's a real possibility that Kamala Harris could be the 47th president of the United States if he can't finish his second term, if he runs and wins. So I wrote the book to investigate it. It's important to know for readers to know, who is Kamala Harris? What does she believe? What is her relationship with people like Willie Brown? How did she rise so quickly in California politics to suddenly be at the top of the national stage and now our vice president?
And so what did your let me say it a different way. Isn't Kamala Harris kind of Joe Biden's insurance policy, why they wouldn't make a move? I mean, particularly after I read your book, isn't she the insurance policy of why they won't move on Biden? Because they can't magically get Michelle Obama in here. Next up at the plate would be Kamala Harris. But the way you write it, I would say she's not ready to be commander in chief and president of the United States.
Right, Steve. You remember when Biden was running for president, he said, "I'm going to be the bridge to the next generation." And it turns out the one he selected to be that person that could step up and take charge if he couldn't make it to a second term, the one he picked was actually the worst pick he could have made. Her failure on the national stage told Democrats, and Democrats understand that's why Biden has to run again, because Kamala failed. She's not ready. And now they're just praying that Biden can make it across the finish line, because their worst nightmare is to actually run Kamala Harris for president against former President Donald Trump.
Now, let's go back to the receipts in the book and your reporting. How do you make the case that she's failed on the national stage when she had her moment in the early years of the Biden's first term?
Yeah, in her early few years, everything we saw on camera was a disastrous mistake. She was not willing to sort of take charge, take on the tough issues for Joe Biden. Her biggest failure, of course, was on the border. Remember, she traveled down to Guatemala. She said, she got on camera, she told migrants, "Do not come, because if you come," this was in the summer of 2021. She said, "Do not come, because if you come, I believe that you will be turned away." Wow, that was obviously her biggest failure in her first 3 years as president. Not only failing to tackle this tough issue and make it her own, but also her failure to turn back any of the migrants and even do anything remotely significant on this issue of the border for Biden. That's why Biden's senior staff views her as not someone that they can really use going into the next election. Obviously she can play in her safe spaces and deal with young people and talk about abortions and talk about that. But she's in no way qualified or at this point to really take on tough issues facing the administration.
The reason I use Biden's first term, obviously, is going to be his only term. But from the perspective of the book, they were looking at two, right? And now they're complaining that Biden should have been the bridge and give it to Kamala Harris. But Charlie's book shows that Harris was incompetent. Let's go back to that. They did try to, according to your reporting, they did try to actually give her substantive things. They just weren't going to send her to funerals. They did try to give her substantive things. I guess my point in the book, you make a pretty good case that Biden's people didn't try to freeze her out immediately. They did try to give her, like the border and a couple other things they gave her, but she proved her own incompetence by either not following up and not grasping or not really knowing how to get things done. Is that correct?
Right. She's pretty protective of her own political brand at this point still. And once they realized that she could not step in and help Biden out, now another one of the issues was the baby formula crisis. They wanted her to go out and welcome in these shipments of baby formula they were shipping from overseas. And she turned that down. She said, "No, forcing First Lady Jill Biden to go out and do it. And then, you know, eventually she did one, but she definitely didn't want to be the face of this public crisis for the Biden administration. And then on foreign policy issues, when they first sent her over on foreign policy to sort of really send the message to Putin that they were serious about, you know, punishing him if he decided to invade Ukraine, nobody really respected her during that trip. It was seen as kind of she was taking the fall for Biden on that because it was pretty clear to them that they were not sort of they had no ability to stop Putin's invasion at that point.
Her people argue, you get some of this in the book, that Biden's staff tried to dump every unsolvable problem to get it out of the Oval Office and away from Biden, that they went out of their way to dump all the toughest things on her, and that's why her brand took a hit, and that's why eventually she started pushing back. Your thoughts?
Well, it wasn't just that, Steve. The most fundamental role of any politician now, especially in the age of social media, you have to be a great communicator. And it became very clear to the Biden administration that Kamala Harris did not have the chops, the communications chops, to inspire and motivate voters, to even convince reporters and people in interviews that she was a capable spokesman for the Biden administration. But she was famously training behind the scenes for simple answers as the question of why haven't you traveled to the border? And her response was, you know, I haven't even been to Europe. I don't get your question. She was specifically trained on that behind the scenes. And she wasn't even accepting basic media training to successfully deliver the Biden administration's talking points. So that's why they even more kind of viewed her as a failure and kind of shied away from putting her on camera. Like in famously after the disastrous event in Afghanistan, Kamala was unwilling, but the Biden administration didn't necessarily want her on camera either. And so eventually she kind of dissipated. You notice they're way more scripted as they go into the campaign. There's no more some of these free flowing events where she can deliver some of these, you know, these word salads that a lot of conservatives like to laugh and point out and feature on shows like this one and all the others.
Charlie, hang here for 1 second. We'll just take a 90-second break. I want to get back to the point of how she even ended up in this job. How was she selected given her track record? Take a short commercial break. Home Title Lock, the combination of cyber criminals and artificial intelligence. Make your home title. Remember, you got 90% of your net worth tied up in your house. Don't let a cyber criminal take out a hard money second loan, second mortgage on it. HomeTitleLock.com. Check it out. Short commercial break. Charlie Spearing, senior political reporter, Daily Mail. Next. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video. .com, all one word, WarRoomHealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.